I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside sources, where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's a busy day in our nation's capital. So many things, so many headlines, and there's a lot behind the headlines that we've got to get to. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
Very pleased to have joining us from our nation's capital, Utah Senator Mitt Romney joins us on the line. And Senator, I know that you and Governor Spencer Cox, Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez, will join U.S. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland on Friday to sign some very important things relating to the Navajo Nation. One, thanks for joining us today. I know there's a lot going on back there, but tell us about what's happening as it relates to the Navajo Nation here in Utah?
Well, thank you, Boyd. Good to be with you. The reality is about 20 years ago, the Navajo Nation was saying, hey, look, we got more rights to the Colorado River than Utah thinks we do. And we're going to potentially bring a lawsuit against Utah so we can take more water out of the Colorado. And there were some negotiations where the Navajo Nation said, you know, we're willing to give up some of those rights and not go to court if you're willing to pay for getting running water to some of our citizens on Navajo Nation who live in Utah, by the way. We found out that almost 50% of the Navajo residents of Utah don't have running water. Mm. And so back in those days when this was first discussed, Orrin Hatch put together a bill to say the Navajo Nation is going to give up some water rights in exchange for $200 million going to the construction of running water to people's homes in the Navajo Nation. And we got that passed as a bill just 2 years ago. And then we got the money. We got it funded in the infrastructure bill, which I was happy to help negotiate last year. So we're now in a position where we're going to be able to actually begin construction to get the water to people's homes. Utahns, by the way, Navajo Utahns, at the same time, we're going to have a more clear title to the flow of the Colorado.
I think that's so important. And this is a great example. We often talk about the conflict back in Washington. This was clearly a bipartisan effort going back to Senator Hatch's time there. And this is one of those good things where you can say, okay, here was a clear need, a clear problem, got it passed. But you also point out the speed at which that goes from, even if you get the bill passed, you still got to get it funded, and then you actually got to get steel and concrete moving around. But this is one of those where everybody did come together in the end.
Yeah, you know, you make a very good point, which is that a lot of people in Congress, myself included, we like to go out there and talk about the bills we filed. Of course, almost none of those ever see the light of day. And then there are bills that actually get passed. We talk about that. But that's, as you point out, that's not the end of the story, because just passing a bill calling for something to be spent doesn't mean money will actually be appropriated by the appropriators. That's a whole other process. So it's taken a while to get this done. And frankly, by being part of the infrastructure deal negotiating team, which was 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, this was something that I pushed for long and hard, and we were able to get the funding that I think was so badly needed.
Yeah, and this is important for our listeners to recognize that this is a lot of the work that never gets seen, never gets talked about, and you have to have a real commitment to a particular project or bill to get it all the way from beginning and conception to being introduced and getting support, getting voted on, then getting funded and actually getting done. And so it's a good day. Glad that the governor will be there along with the Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez and Interior Secretary Hallen, will be there. That's an important piece, and we appreciate your work on that, Senator. And want to pivot now, obviously, to something that's captured most of our attention for the last 72 hours, and of course, that's the tragedy coming out of Texas, Rob's school, and the horrific scene there. And of course, the natural reaction is a reaction. In terms of what do we do? How do we stop this, prevent this? And it's important that we get past just the emotion of it and get to kind of the practical tacticals in terms of what can be done. What are you hearing from your colleagues back there in Washington, D.C.? What is the not bills, not legislation? What's the conversation path moving forward?
Well, there are a couple of things that are going on. Republicans and Democrats are talking about. There's a little working group that's come together. I'm not part of that group, but there's a working group trying to find a compromise between Republicans and Democrats. What I think they're going to come up with is doing a better job on background checks, and also potentially providing incentives for states to put in place so-called red flag laws, which are basically saying that if a parent or a school teacher or a law enforcement officer feels that someone represents a danger to themselves or to others, that they could get a court order to keep such a person from either firing getting a firearm or having one. And there are 19 states that have those now. Our state does not have one of those yet, but that's something that's being spoken about. There are also discussions about the fact that these school shooters typically are young people, and whether we should have the age of 21 for people to be able to purchase perhaps an assault weapon. So those are the kinds of things being discussed. I don't know what will actually come out, and you know, every time there's a tragedy like this, there's a lot of impetus to do something, and you want to make sure that if you're going to do something, you're not taking away legitimate rights that people have under the Constitution. At the same time, you want to make sure you're not doing something that doesn't make any difference, that will make you all feel good but doesn't actually reduce the tragedies that we're seeing. So a discussion is underway, and we'll see just where it leads.
Yeah, and Senator, do you see this as a path where we can have one of those and conversations, that we can talk about gun laws and gun safety and background checks along with mental health and school security and law enforcement and all of those kinds of things, but that we also included in that and conversations around the breakdown of families and fatherlessness in America and a culture of social media that breeds contempt and violent video games and teens and anxiety. Is there a way? To me, it seems to be that when we don't have any values, when there's a void in values, that the laws and legislation aren't going to deter the bad behavior. But if we can value those values, then the laws and the legislation can give some strength, some certainty, and some security to society. Can we get to that conversation?
You know, there's no question but that we will talk about mental health, but we will always have people that are mentally disturbed and angry. In this case, the shooter apparently was bullied, had a broken home, a lot of red flags, if you will, would have been raised around this individual, and you know, he didn't get help, didn't have people intervening that could have made a difference in his life. Apparently, although his grandparents were trying, both his grandmother and grandfather were trying, I don't think there's any question but that, look, if we had more homes with both parents there, involvements of the broader family in people's lives, less violent video games, I mean, would that make a difference? I think so. I can't help but think that when you have video games that young people are playing, which involve shooting people and blowing people up, that makes it a little easier to do it in real life as well as they're doing it online. So are we going to change those things? Why, I actually, as you probably know, have a piece of legislation which is designed to help families with kids by giving them a monthly stipend, replacing some of the programs we have. It's no new money. It's redirecting money we're already spending not very wisely to help families be able to provide for their kids. But, when we have marriage penalties, when we make it expensive for people to marry, that's a mistake. We should make it easier for people to marry and for two parents to be in the home where that's possible. Those things, I'm sure, would make a difference. But, we in this country are so much worse in terms of these tragedies occurring than anywhere else in the world. We probably have to stop and look at that as well.
Yeah, crucial conversations to be sure. Senator Mitt Romney, on a very busy day, I know you're going to be touring some of the Olympic facilities. That's always some chatter here and a lot of things on the docket over the Memorial Day weekend, along with continued work there in our nation's capital. We appreciate you carving out a little time for us today to bring us up to speed on two really important things happening back in our nation's capital. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks, Boyd. All the best.
All right. We'll go ahead and step aside. Some important things to think about. Love the fact that they're getting this water issue solved for the Navajo Nation. That's such a crucial thing, long, long overdue. And I just want to remind you what the senator said. This is a long process from the origination of the bill that goes back to when Senator Hatch was in office. You got to get bipartisan support. You got to get it passed in the House and the Senate. Then you got to get it funded and ultimately move it into action. And so it is a long, slow process, I think, by design. Senator Romney's done a great job of navigating and shepherding that all the way through. And that will be a big blessing to the Navajo Nation right here in the state of Utah.
Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.